I was looking at a retirement calculator the other day, and after I entered my info, the little loading icon just it turned into a skull and crossbones, and then my browser crashed. I realized that's probably the most honest feedback that I've ever received from a financial institution. So we are at a point in time where planning for the future could be viewed as a form of creative writing, like a whimsical fiction that we indulge in to keep from staring directly into the sun. And most of us aren't checking our bank accounts to see if we can retire. And most of us aren't going to retire. What we're doing is we're checking the weather to see if the sky is a color that matches our existential anxiety. You know, it's a weird time to be a person right now. If you look at the history of the human animal, we've always been fueled by this carrot on a stick situation, right? It's always about the great someday. You work for the someday. You suffer for the someday. You put up with a boss who smells like damp ham and stale cigarettes because in the someday, you'll finally be free. But then you notice that the carrot has rotted and it fell off the stick about 15 years ago. And we're all just staring at the empty stick like it's a religious relic or something. So this is the post-hope generation. And I don't mean that in a we're all depressed and need a weighted blanket kind of way. Though weighted blankets can be pretty nice. I mean that the fundamental narrative of progress has suffered a massive fatal heart attack in the lobby of a burning shopping mall. So there used to be a time when traditional meaning used to be rather straightforward. It was like an off-the-rack suit that didn't fit great, but it covered your nakedness. And you got the job, maybe even a job that you liked. You got the spouse, maybe the kids. You got the mortgage, and then you spent 30 or so years trying to ignore the fact that you are really just a biological accident on a speck of rock and water. And it more or less worked because while the world felt it felt solid, you could lean on it. But now, leaning on the world is like leaning on a stack of wet cardboard boxes. And the void that many of us are feeling now, that, you know, that hollow ringing sound in your ears when you try to think about where you're going to be in 2040. That's not exactly a mental health crisis. Or well, it is. It's a logical one because it's the existential vertigo of realizing that the bridge that we were told to cross just ends in midair. And we're being told to just keep walking anyways and enjoy the view of the canyon floor. So we've been stripped of the future narrative. And without that narrative, meaning becomes a very heavy lift. Because that narrative is all we've ever really known. You know, it's like trying to play a game of Monopoly where you know that the bank is going to catch fire in 20 minutes. You're still going to play. But do you try to buy a Boardwalk, or do you just sit there and marvel at the plastic houses as, you know, when they start to melt? The pursuit of purpose feels kind of pointless now, because we were taught that purpose is something that you build toward. But you can't really build a skyscraper on a tectonic plate that's currently doing the Macarena. So we're left in this rather bleak, futureless present. It's just us and the internet and this vague sense that we're the last guest at a party where the host has already called the cops on themselves. The only problem is that our current system, this giant grinding machine that we're all strapped to, is actually allergic to the present moment. It's built entirely on the not yet model. You know, crony corporate capitalism is basically a scam where you trade your life today for a so-called promise of a life tomorrow. And, you know, deep down, you probably feel it. That it's ultimately, it's like a subscription service for a soul that you never quite get to use. And you spend at least 40 hours a week doing something that makes your skin crawl so that you can spend 2 days a week recovering from the fact that your skin crawled. And we've been told that if we feel meaninglessness or meaningless, it's because we aren't aligned, or we haven't manifested enough or something. Unfortunately, your existential despair is now primarily blamed on personal failing. So if you're anxious about the fact that the oceans are experiencing acidification and you can't afford groceries anymore, that's just a you problem. That's a mindset issue. You just need more grit or maybe some vitamin D. But the reality is the anxiety, It isn't a glitch. It's actually the feature. Because when you are constantly bombarded with a future that looks like a Mad Max deleted scene, that puts you in a state of perpetual fight or flight. Or flight or fight or whatever. And, you know, how the hell are you supposed to find meaning when you're trying to outrun a predator that you can't even see? Our current system, it keeps us in this meaningless headspace because people who feel whole, they don't buy things to fill a void. So in other words, if you realize that the future they're selling is a counterfeit, you might stop paying for the insane premiums that we now have. I think in this day and age, we are haunted by the ghosts of lives that we were promised, but we will never lead. So if the 1950s version of the future had flying cars, our version now, it just has an app that tells you exactly how many minutes of your life you've traded for a burrito delivery. Yeah, things didn't quite go the way we'd hoped, huh? And this has left us in a state of future dread. And the only way to kill that dread is to understand that the future is it's really just a hallucination. It's, you know, it's just a ghost story that we tell ourselves to keep from noticing that the only thing that actually exists is this moment right here, this breath right now, this weird, raw, uncomfortable, slightly absurd moment. And if there is no someday, then the now becomes incredibly heavy. It becomes the only thing that we really have. And that's terrifying, but it's also the first step toward not wanting to just walk into the ocean and never return. So if the big future is a corpse, what do we do with the funeral? I'd guess that most of us just sit in the back row and scroll until the blue light fries our retinas. And we mourn by distracting ourselves with digital noise so we don't have to smell the unfulfilled potential that's mixing with that funeral home carpet smell. But eventually, the battery's gonna die and the screen goes black. And you're still sitting there with a body that isn't getting any warmer. Here's the thing that shifted for me at some point. Meaning isn't some magical glowing orb that you find at the top of a mountain after you've achieved enough. It's not some trophy they hand you for being a good little gear in the machine. Mark Fisher wrote about this and he called it capitalist realism. Now, I've mentioned Mark Fisher many times in my videos. So basically, we've gotten to this point where it's genuinely easier to imagine the actual end of the world than it is to imagine the end of the system. And we're stuck because somewhere along the line, we got sold the idea that meaning has to scale. So if you're not saving the entire planet by next month or trending globally, well, then you're wasting your time. But that's the trap, right? The goalposts, they're in another dimension entirely. And this keeps you frozen. And meaning, when everything's trying to hollow you out, is it's a form of rebellion. I'd even suggest it's a form of vandalism. It's like carving your initials into the wreckage just so someone knows you didn't go quietly. But the thing is, it's the cracks in the pavement where you find actual life. And, you know, when this big, shiny, soul-crushing engine starts rattling and dropping bolts, you've got a choice. You can keep trying to tighten the bolts on the machine that's designed to grind you into paste, or you can start building something else in the wreckage. And, you know, I think this is just about where we are. And this is where I think post-hope stops feeling depressing and it starts feeling more like a sense of relief. Because when you stop waiting for some politician or billionaire or sentient AI to fix, allegedly sentient AI, to fix these big problems, all that leaves you with is the person that you're standing next to, which is a little terrifying, honestly, because that person might be annoying. They might breathe too loud and have bad breath. They might have a collection of, I don't know, more snow globes than any human being should reasonably own. Anyway, whatever the case, that person is real. They take up physical space. And building a community clinic or starting a local food network or even just knowing the names of the people in your building so you can check on them during a heat wave, this isn't Hallmark card stuff. It's tactical. So the philosopher Ivan Illich talked about conviviality, which are, it's basically systems that serve human needs instead of turning humans into tools. Now, in the current setup, you're just an atom bouncing around trying not to explode. But in a tenant union or a mutual aid group, you're part of a molecule. And the meaning void starts to fill up because you're making sure the family in Unit 4B has groceries and not because you achieved enlightenment or anything. Meaning is, it's a byproduct of being useful to other humans. And the system hates that because you can't charge a subscription fee for your neighbor fixing your sink. All right. So I guess this is where I'm supposed to offer some thoughts on potential solutions. But I'm not doing a five steps to happiness list or anything like that. I'd rather eat gravel. And I'm not going to tell you to choose joy while the world is actively being fed into a trash compactor. Okay? But I am going to tell you that we are all stuck in this burning theater together. So, at the very least, we might as well try to figure out how to breathe less smoke while we're here. Now, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think the solution is hope. Not the traditional kind, anyway. you know, hope is like a beggar waiting for miracles while slowly starving to death. I think what we need is agency. We need to understand that while this world is ending, another world is always beginning. It's just, you know, it's a little smaller and grittier, and it's probably going to involve more dirt. So Albert Camus had this whole thing about Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the hill for eternity. And Camus said that we have to imagine Sisyphus happy with this predicament, because the rock is his. He's owned his predicament. And the struggle itself is the meaning. Now, I think probably the first thing we should do is just resign from the future and stop living in a world that hasn't happened yet. And I'm not saying we shouldn't think at all about the future. I'm just saying, you know, if you're busy grieving the resource wars of 2035, you're missing that your coffee's actually pretty good right now. The present isn't a waiting room. It's the only room. And your attention might be the only currency that they haven't completely devalued yet, though they are working on it. And this leads to what I think of as radical localism. So, all right, you're overwhelmed, and global systems feel far too screwed up to fix from your couch. I get it. I would just focus on my local community and just pay more attention to my own block. Peter Kropotkin, I think that's how you pronounce his name, wrote about mutual aid way back in the 19th century. And he thought of it more as evolution than charity. And, you know, one of the main reasons that we've survived as a species is because we've more or less looked out for each other in spite of all the horrible things we've done to each other. And it's, you know, we didn't do this because we're competing for corner offices. So if you can't fix the industrial food complex, maybe find the local farmers who are already being squeezed out and try to build a direct line to them that just bypasses the supermarket altogether. You know, if you can't fix a healthcare system that treats you like a line item, start a health collective where the main goal is keeping people out of the hospital in the first place through preventative care and education. Now, you know, I don't mean to simplify these problems, and I realize that these are challenging ideas that involve a great deal of dedication and effort to build and maintain. But I think this is what it's going to take if we want to really make real changes and make something new. I mean, we can either fight the system, or we can try to build our own with, you know, like-minded people. And either one's easy. But I think fighting is probably a lost cause at this point. This is really about building a life that the market can't easily unplug. And whatever meaning involved lives in the dirt and the stitches, not in the clouds, or in the cloud, for that matter. You know, the state and the market, they're just disinterested landlords ignoring the gas leak in your kitchen. And when you build parallel systems based around solidarity, I think meaning gets tied to the person next to you instead of some stock ticker. And as I've said in at least a dozen other videos here, above all, you got to embrace the absurdity. You got to come to peace with it. If everything's falling apart anyway, well, then you're finally free. Radical acceptance. The stakes are gone. The metrics are insane. And you can just be a person for however long that lasts. I think there's this dark but tranquil satisfaction in realizing the game's rigged and deciding to play your own game in the ruins instead. So, if it is a post-hope generation and we're standing in the driveway watching the great someday get towed away for parts, it isn't pretty, but there's a strange freedom in being abandoned by your own expectations. There's a relief in just finally letting go of that. And when you stop holding your breath for a future that's perpetually on back order, you actually have to inhabit the room that you're in. And I know that's uncomfortable. I know that we're so immersed in this omnipotent yet dysfunctional system that even the thought of building alternative parallel systems, it sounds like a fantasy. But I don't have very much faith in AI fixing anything, even though there is, you know, this utopian vision of AI. Unfortunately, I think there's a stronger dystopian vision of AI playing out. Time will tell. You know, I also believe that the ruling class are thoroughly sociopathic. And frankly, it's not in their best interest for us to even exist in the future. So what's the alternative here? I don't think meaning is waiting for us in 2040 or what, or whenever. I think it's right here, right now. And we find it in the small, humble dignity of looking out for the people that are submerged in the wreckage with you. And, you know, really, there's no use waiting for a light at the end of the tunnel when you are holding the matches. All right. Well, that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.